From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and founder of Let the Bible Speak. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from Mark chapter 4 and verse 36. There were also with him other little ships. Jesus was the Lord High Admiral of the sea that night, and his presence preserved the whole convoy. It is well to sail with Jesus, even though it be in a little ship. When we sail in Christ's company, we may not make sure of fair weather, for great storms may toss the vessel which carries the Lord himself. And we must not expect to find the sea less boisterous around our little boat. If we go with Jesus, we must be content to fare as he fares, and when the waves are rough to him, they will be rough to us. It is by tempest and tossing that we shall come to land, as he did before us. When the storm swept over Galilee's dark lake, all faces gathered blackness, and all hearts dreaded shipwreck. When all creature help was useless, the slumbering Savior arose, and with a word transformed the riot of the tempest into the deep quiet of a calm. Then were the little vessels at rest, as well as that which carried the Lord. Jesus is the star of the sea. And though there be sorrow upon the sea, when Jesus is on it, there is joy too. May our hearts make Jesus their anchor, their rudder, their lighthouse, their lifeboat, and their harbor. His church is the Admiral's flagship. Let us attend her movements and cheer her officers with our presence. He himself is the great attraction. Let us follow ever in his wake, mark his signals, steer by his chart, and never fear while he is within hail. Not one ship in the convoy shall suffer wreck. The great Commodore will steer every bark in safety to the desired haven. By faith we will slip our cable for another day's cruise, and sail forth with Jesus into a sea of tribulation. Winds and waves will not spare us, but they all obey him. And therefore, whatever squalls may occur without, faith shall feel a blessed calm within. He is ever in the center of the weather-beaten company. Let us rejoice in him. His vessel has reached the haven. And so shall ours.
Overwhelmed by his mercy, amazed by his grace, I am cleansed from all sin, every sign, every trace. Jesus left heaven's portals himself to abase. I'm overwhelmed by his mercy and his all-sufficient grace. God's everlasting mercy, oh, a tender relief. When burdened with sorrow and laden with grief, when I think that on Calvary Christ died in my place, I'm overwhelmed by his mercy and his all-sufficient grace.
I will rest in him. is keeping each night and each day, for I know that he's leading each step of the way. Though the valleys of sadness at times I must face, still he comforts all heartaches with his all-sufficient grace.
God's everlasting mercy, oh, what tender
Often have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message entitled, Love for God, part of his series of studies on the law of God. Living a happy and fruitful Christian life is more than following a set of do's and don'ts. According to the Lord Jesus, it is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns has set forth the elements in loving God, as well as explaining the exercise of doing so. We are to love God with all our being. The effect of this will be proper regard for ourselves and for others. Now, to conclude this message, Love for God, here is Dr. Cairns.
God's people love to reason through the implications of the gospel. Dr. Barrett this morning commenced the morning service by reading from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, then all died. If one died for all for whom he died, died in him. That's what he said. Now, Paul is saying, we judge, we discern, we deduce, we logically think through the implications of the gospel. And I say to you, my friend, that that's how to love God reasonably. And I'll give you this hint as a Christian. The more deeply you pursue the implications of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the more deeply you will know your Savior, and the more deeply you will love your God. Then we must love the Lord energetically, because we are told we have to love Him with all our strength. Love leads to action. Love is not going to leave you sitting in the corner twiddling your thumbs, doing nothing for God. Love knows nothing of empty theory and vain words. Someone has said, you may love, or you may give without loving, but you can never love without giving. Love can never be inactive. You think of a mother's love, of a father's love, of a spouse's love, and see what men and women have done, what mighty exploits they have done in pursuit of such a love. And yet love for God should transcend them all. We must love Him with all our strength. Can I say to you today that it is just not right that God's people offer to the Savior the burnt out ends of their lives. So many Christians' lives remind me of a cigarette that somebody has puffed and puffed until there's just a little bit left. That little bit of your time, that little bit of your energy, that little bit of your thought, that little bit of your activity, that's what you give to God. God forbid. God forbid. Whatever your calling in life, you're to love the Lord with all your strength. Whatever you do, do it as unto Him. Wherever you're working, work as a witness for Christ, both by deed and by word. Love the Lord energetically. Then can I say, we must love the Lord preeminently. We must love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. We must love the Lord preeminently. If we do not, as Thomas Boston again implied, if we do not love the Lord above all, then we do not truly love Him at all. It's a far-reaching statement. If you don't love Him above all, can you honestly claim to love Him at all? We must love Him preeminently. I love the old hymn. We don't have it in our book, otherwise we would finish by singing it tonight. King, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary, lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, Lord, lead me to Calvary. We must love our God. The effects of that love will be a proper regard for ourselves, and then a proper regard for others. But that will be another study. Let me finish very briefly, but I trust as we finish, God will apply the word to all our hearts. He commands us to love Him. He commands us to love Him. Don't try to squirm out of that command. You may say, Lord, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do the other thing, I don't go here, I'm not involved in something else. It's like a murderer going before the judge and saying, but Judge, I never stole any candies. How ridiculous. But not as ridiculous as the man who would talk such foolish nonsense about his own supposed righteousness, and yet have no love for God. He commands us to love Him. And He teaches us that those who do not love Him are doomed and damned eternally, unless grace gives them a new heart. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Devoted to God's everlasting curse. Let me ask you tonight, are you saved? Do you love the Lord? Do you love Him? If not, then look to Christ. Look to Christ. In Him alone can you know God. In Christ alone can you come to see your God in the glory of His grace. Remember that knowing Him is the very first element in loving Him. Christ is God's perfect gift of love. See Him tonight. God and man, perfect, sinless, spotless and pure. See Him on His way to Calvary. See Him hung then upon that tree. See Him in that almighty passion and the shedding of His blood. See Him buried and risen again from the dead. And as you look on Christ, as you gaze on Christ, receive Him as personal Savior and Lord. Hear His call. And as you receive Him, what will you receive? Listen, you'll receive as God's free gift the imputed righteousness of Christ's perfect love for God. But let's be honest. We must love God. And if we're saved, we do love Him. But how imperfectly? How imperfectly? Thank God, when a person receives Christ, God puts to his account all the righteous merit of the Redeemer, including the righteousness of His perfect love for God. That's put to our account. Sinner, look to Jesus. Look now without delay. Enter into life by faith in Him, for that saving faith is altogether necessary to loving Him. And if you are saved and you're lamenting that your love is marred by so much imperfection and so much inconsistency, again I say, look to Christ. Remember the imputation of the righteousness of the Savior's love for God, that it's all yours. With the sight of Christ by faith, a faith that Paul says works by love, then will you be enabled to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee Thou hast loved us with an everlasting love. We could never command Thy love, but Thou didst give it freely. Now, Lord, Thou dost command our love to Thee. And how dilatory we are at obeying. Remember those in this meeting who know not the Savior. Remember those, O God, who have no love for Thee. God, save them. Remember those who are saved, who are battling cold hearts. Give them a sight of Christ. Oh, there's nothing can thrill the soul like Jesus. There's no one can stir up the fire in our heart like Christ. Show us the Savior. Lord, kindle a fire in every believing breast that will blaze in a mighty love for God. Hear our cry. Answer thou our petitions and give us genuine and lasting fruit for the preaching of thy word. Part us now with thy blessing. Keep us, Lord, in thy fear. Grant that the grace, mercy, and peace of our triune God will be our portion this Sabbath evening and evermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.